This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We're back on the KNC Masterpiece. Lots of sports actioning going on throughout the evening. But, man, we got to focus in on the Cowboys. All right, there are a lot of people that feel like the Cowboys at 3-3 have already failed. Yep. It's not even a losing season. I heard Mike Bassick say today, and because I Tolo, and you can rewind it back if you want to, the radio.com app, just load it up and then rewind, and you can listen to your favorite shows. But I recommend just listening to our show. If you want to start it at like 10 in the morning and listen to it until whenever, just go ahead and do that. Or if you want to start at any time, maybe 9 o'clock in the morning or 8:30. Maybe you wake up at 5:30 and you want to start our show then. That's fine. Do it there. But one of the things that Bassick did say earlier today was if the Cowboys lose to – because Jeff asked him, have you already decided that you want to tank? And he said, not yet. But if they lose to the Eagles, I want them this weekend – I want them to go ahead and lose everything else.
Wow.
And
except for the Redskins game, because that's probably impossible.
Like, you're still 2-1 in the division. You can still come out of the division with the best division record and just enough wins to win the division. Why would you not want to be in the playoffs? I mean, that would even you just want to get in the tournament. I know the regular season, people are like, oh, man, that's the greatest depictor of what the season is going to be. Not really.
I don't think that this team has made the playoffs in back-to-back years in 12 seasons. So, which is crazy, first of all. So, yeah, no, I'm good with any kind of playoffs. I don't think it saves Garrett's job if you don't get to at least the NFC Championship game. But if we're in the playoffs, like, just think about this. And we always go back to this. Like, I don't understand why people will, like Corey was just talking about, kind of crap on the playoffs. Because think about it. If you win two games in the playoffs, at a minimum, you're further than you've been in the last 24 years. If you win three games, you're in the Super Bowl. Like, can you just imagine what would happen to this city? Like, I know some people are bent out of shape because of the road closings and, like, all the hysteria around President Trump visiting. But can you imagine if you had 2 weeks to prepare for the Dallas Cowboys to be in the Super Bowl? Like, Dallas, Fort Worth, Arlington, all every place in between, all the suburbs. This whole place would be hysteria 24/7 of Cowboys mania. Like, everywhere you went, and it would be the greatest thing because it's been so long and people are so thirsty for it. Like, think about all the different levels. You have people that are your grandparents' age, depending on what age the Tolos are. You have people that are your grandparents' age. I remember the Ice Bowl, or I remember Roger Staubach, Dandy Don Meredith, Tom Landry, and the flex defense getting that Super Bowl. You don't think they're dying for it? You have people of our age who, when we were growing up and getting into sports, you have the dominant Cowboys teams in the 92 team that I still think is the best NFL team that has ever been. We're dying for it. And then what about all of the people who are like, what, 28 or younger, who could not conceivably have any memory of seeing the Cowboys in the Super Bowl? You have generation on top of generation on top of generation. This Metroplex area would melt down into Cowboys hysteria.
Absolutely.
So I'm with you. I don't care how crappy they look going into the playoffs. If you make the playoffs, you're three wins away from being in the Super Bowl.
You know, around the same time last year, I was looking across at both of you guys going, I need to pick a different team. I'm tired of this crap.
I remember that because we did the one-off choose a different fandom.
Yeah, and I didn't end up actually picking one. I ended up sticking with them just because I can't bail on them. But I remember this last year, and I remember thinking there is no way that this team, as it's looking right then, was a good team. Feeling that way again, and therefore I'm not giving up. No matter what happens, give me till Thanksgiving and tell me what this team is. Because until that, because they proved last year, where there was weaker teams, then you got better teams coming up in this year's schedule, like they did just finish better. So I'm hoping for that again.
The if by chance, though, you are rooting for Team Tank following this game on Sunday night.
There's plenty that are.
If Monday comes along and you're thinking to yourself, man, what can we get? I have current mock drafts for the first round.
Oh, my Lord.
It will put you, if you, the Cowboys right now are predicted to get the 15th pick. And I assume, Kevin, that's going to be an 8-8 record.
Yeah.
Like an 8-8 because they're 3-3 right now. The number one pick at the moment, Kevin, is the Cincinnati Bengals because they're 0-6 versus Miami, who's 0-5. So okay. That's why they have them at that spot right now. At the moment, Justin Herbert is going number one overall from Oregon.
Going a different quarterback.
With Tua going number two to the Dolphins.
Okay.
All right. So that's two quarterbacks off the board. What position do you guys need in this draft?
Defensive tackle.
Defensive tackle for Kevin?
Mm-hmm. I could see that. I think we're going to need a cornerback.
Cornerback for Colby. All right. The next guy's an offensive lineman. The next guy at number four, Jeff Okuda from Ohio State. The Falcons' defense is awful, but that's a guy they might need. I don't know if you're going to be able to get to four.
I can't see it because... No. Look, the Dolphins, I don't think, can win a game. I can't imagine the Bengals can win more than two. I can't imagine that the Redskins can win more than two. So, best case scenario, you'd have to lose all of your games the rest of the way.
All right. The next cornerback is Christian Fulton out of LSU. And that's at number nine, who's predicted to go to the Giants.
He's really good. Lost in the hysteria of how good their offense looks. Mm-hmm. Certainly.
That's a baller right there. Okay. That's a baller. Uh-huh. But you have to get to nine. And, I mean, you're going to have to lose to the Giants.
Yeah. Now we're talking, what, 5-6 wins?
Kevin, I know a lot of you guys said defensive tackle and cornerback. I feel that there are two people tied at the hip. I feel like at the end of this season, Dak Prescott may not get the contract he wants if things turn out badly and Jason Garrett's gone, and a guy might walk in and say, I want this guy, Joe Burrow.
Man, Joe Burrow is really fascinating, as we were just alluding to the offensive explosion at LSU. Joe Burrow is somebody who, for a minute, looked like they might be a bigger player last year, and then they just kind of like, he was fine, but I don't know if anyone was thinking like Heisman Trophy, let alone first-round draft pick. Mm-hmm. So it has been absolutely remarkable to see them get a modern offense and then to see how much everybody changed their opinion. And like, people have high opinions of him coming out of high school. If you're thinking like he just now exploded on the scene, I'm pretty sure he started at Ohio State and then lost out in the competition to Haskins, if I recall correctly, before he transferred to LSU. He's tall enough. He's probably like 6'4", 5-ish.
Yeah, 6'4", 216 pounds.
Yeah, and
that's perfect height.
He's got a strong arm, and that offense looks incredible. I would argue Joe Burrow is the leading candidate for the Heisman thus far.
You imagine drafting
an
LSU quarterback, Colby?
No.
It's fascinating. In the top 13, they have five quarterbacks going. They got Jacob Eason from Washington going next. He's 6'6", and then Jordan Love out of Utah State going.
Yeah, I haven't really seen Jordan Love. I've heard some hype on him.
But that's to Tampa. I mean, they need a quarterback. Yeah. All right, here we go. The Cardinals are right above the Cowboys at pick 14.
What?
Yeah. And they have
the Cardinals going on a tear with Kyler there.
They have South Carolina's Javon Kinlaw, defensive lineman, 6'6", 310 pounds, going to them.
All right. So we need to make sure we get ahead of the Cardinals.
The Cowboys at number 15, Oklahoma senior, 6'2", 302 pounds, Neville Gallimore. I mean, he's a good player. He's a good penetrator. He's stout. He's got power. It's a very short scouting report on him right now, though.
How many people do we consistently have that will win or disrupt the line
Not
of
enough.
Scrimmage? Two?
Yeah. One right now.
Yeah.
I mean,
so
he Tank disrupts, but is not winning at the moment.
And that's the thing. Like, sometimes, obviously, I'm all in favor for the quarterback pressure or the sack, but sometimes I think people discount how important it is for a defensive lineman to win at the line of scrimmage and disrupt. You know, like maybe you push an offensive lineman back that could create space for another person rushing, or maybe you clog up a run hole by winning your one-on-one battle at the line of scrimmage. I think people severely underrate that.
If you are looking for a cornerback, Colby, Lamar Jackson, Lamb. Hold on. A Nebraska senior, 6'3", 215 pounds. That seems like the perfect cornerback for a system that is run by Chris Richard. That is if the system is still run by Chris Richard. The Colts are pretty good at finding things, but this guy is a long cornerback that the Colts would really like. Isaiah Simmons is a safety that they say the Raiders might get from Clemson. This guy is a unit changing pick for the Raiders.
Where do they have Henry Ruggs, the wide receiver from Alabama?
Number 20, right behind CeeDee Lamb.
Shut up.
Right behind CeeDee Lamb, going to the Panthers, and the
Holy
Detroit
cow,
would
that
take
kid
CeeDee
is
Lamb.
So good.
Yeah. That's they're good players. I like CeeDee Lamb too, though. Like, yeah.
Why? Just because he broke out of a, what was it, 5-on-1 scenario? my son, he was watching that game and he goes, "Oh, do you know this CeeDee Lamb person?" And I go, "Yeah, sorry about that, buddy." And he goes, "What was that? How did he get through all those people?"
All right, so I do want you to look there. You got at where you are at 8-8. You got a couple defensive linemen that you could take advantage of. A cornerback that you could get. So you got those right there. Up higher, there's not really much that's going to be game-changing. There's no defensive tackle that's going to be any higher for you that's going to change the game. So there's a couple edge rushers. There's a couple cornerbacks.
Which is a lot different from last year's draft where, man, that top 10 was holy crap. Defensive linemen galore.
And if I agree that there are a bunch of quarterbacks up in that top 10, and I think that's more likely. If you're in that top 10 and you're the Cowboys, you're probably making an investment in that position. That's just the way that I feel if you're in the top 10. Now, if you win more games, and Kevin, where would you be if you just got into the playoffs and you won 9 or 10 games?
Probably 21 or 22, because after that, 21 through 32 are determined on what you do in the playoffs.
All right.
So you'd probably be 21 or 22.
21, they got the Eagles taking linebacker Kenneth Murray out of Oklahoma. 6'4", 234, flies on everywhere.
Look, man, and you might not see this as a position of need, and I certainly understand that, but if that wide receiver out of Alabama is there, the pick before, holy crap, that kid's awesome.
Yeah, you also got a couple other receivers as well there. Kalavon Chason out of LSU is a defensive end. He's an edge rusher, 6'4", 250, super fast too. That's a pick 23 to the Ravens. I'm not going to say that. You got a bunch of offensive linemen.
Not a bunch
of defensive tackles in this draft so far early.
Are we so sure that you don't need to get an offensive lineman?
I mean, I kind of want to change my idea and go ahead and get one.
You want to go ahead and get Alex Leatherwood, offensive lineman. You can get him at 28.
I love that name.
He's
yes.
Leatherwood from Alabama, 6'6", 310 pounds.
All right.
And pick number 28. You want another offensive lineman, Trey Smith out of Tennessee. Do you want anybody from Tennessee?
Yeah, not the whole program is
six
trash.
6'6", 325 pounds.
All right. I want to...
Calvin Throckmorton, senior out of Oregon, 309 pounds, 6'5". And that's if you're down in the 20s.
So the Thursday night football game just going final. The Chiefs win 30-6. I want to see how you guys can do with this. Andy Reid, that's win 200. He's the seventh coach in NFL history with 200 wins. Can you name any of the others? You should be able to get a couple of them. Some of them, probably not.
I mean, are we talking about active coaches?
No, ever.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, only the seventh ever.
So you would have to, I would think you would have to throw Landry in there.
Yep, number 4. 250 wins.
So then you would have to, Chuck Knoll?
No. Chuck Knoll has
193.
Damn. Close.
Did you say Belichick isn't involved here?
We have not gotten to him yet.
Okay.
Bill Belichick is on the list at number 3.
Then I guess, he's got a the trophy named after him. So is it Lombardi?
Oh, Vince Lombardi is a no. Keep in mind, I think Vince Lombardi was actually only a head coach for like 10 years.
Is this in the Super Bowl era or does it matter?
I know. I think it's ever. Yeah, Vince Lombardi has 96 wins.
Is Andy Reid in that mix?
I mean.
Okay. We'll just go to the next segment.
Don Shula?
We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Maybe? Coming up next, it's time for the list. Next Level Living. Do that next right here on The Fan.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by the personal injury team at Franklin Frankel. If you've been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call 214-333-3333 or go online to frankelfirm.com. Principal office, Dallas, Texas.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece, I'm not sure if you heard, but Andy Reid gets his 200th win tonight with the Kansas City, not with the Kansas City Chiefs, but it's
that'd be another record or
200th
sort
in his career. He also coached the Eagles at one point. There are not very many coaches that have 200 wins, but nobody knows exactly who the ones are that do have it. However,
whose fault is that?
Tonight, Kevin, he played two different quarterbacks. He played Mahomes and Matt Moore in order to get this win.
Do we give Matt Moore the credit for this win?
I think
then?
You have to.
Wow.
Although I do think like 20 points were already scored by the time Matt Moore got in. So, but our good friend Mark Lane posted this. Fun fact, in Andy Reid's 100th career win, he's won 100 since then.
Okay, sure.
He also played two quarterbacks in Donovan McNabb and Michael Vick that night. So there you
really?
Go. Yeah. So
it feels like that talent level combined is, well, at least it's a little bit better spread out than Mahomes
yeah.
and Moore.
Yeah, it's more balanced. It might be the same. It's
yeah,
just not as
that's true, just because the one is so high up there.
But, you know, so stay tuned for if you're the quarterback when Andy Reid is going for his 300th win.
Right.
Beware, because you're
man.
Getting hurt that night.
Pat Mahomes Jr., look out.
Also, I wanted to point this out, Kevin. We didn't get a chance to talk about this, but A.J. Hinch, who is coaching a team that is up right now 6-3. And, man, all they're doing is hitting the ball at first base because the first baseman for the Yankees cannot field the ball to save his life.
Springer and, they're just, and Correa have the home runs.
Yeah,
for
and
Houston.
They're just hitting it to first base, and then they're getting runners on, and then they're hitting home runs. But they are up 6-3 right now in the top of the eighth. But A.J. Hinch was talking earlier today, and he said that the accusation – that his guys are whistling pitches
yeah,
is kind of funny. And then he said, we talked about this the other day. In reality, it's a joke, but Major League Baseball does a lot to ensure the fairness of the game. There's people everywhere. If you go through the dugouts, the clubhouses, hallways, like there's always people around that are responsible for security. And when I get contacted about questions about whistling, it made me laugh because it's ridiculous. So I guess they were saying that during the game, and they got investigated for this, that they were whistling pitches. Like, they could tell what the pitch was, and then they'd whistle. And you're in a stadium that's loud.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to hear that whistle? Are you going to be able to signify what a whistle is?
Probably not.
It's just weird to me. But the Astros are implicated in all sorts of cheating scandals all the time.
That's a yeah. lot of smoke.
Yeah. And they're starting to feel like the Patriots, where there's always, like, cheating surrounding them, but they win. And so people are like, whatever.
Yeah, but just need them to get caught once, right?
Absolutely.
Just like the Patriots. You just need them to get caught once. Just have the actual video of the guy on second just going just with both fingers in his mouth and just whistling as hard as he can.
Oh, yeah. And if he only has one finger in his mouth, then it's a fastball.
That's right.
Oh.
Two. Curveball.
Okay.
There you go. Now for tonight's list.
The Chive.
Barstool Sports.
The Banbury Cake.
Ooh.
Andy Reid's underpants.
Gross.
Huh? That's where you got this from?
I think he wears underpants.
I don't have
yes.
a guess.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
I don't have a guess.
And I wish that I hadn't before.
If you were to guess, boxers or briefs?
I don't have a guess. That I have not paid attention.
I appreciate
attention.
That Kevin's given some thought to this.
I'm going to say boxer briefs because his lady asked for an upgrade from the tighty whities.
Okay. All right.
But they're pretty big.
Reggie?
Briefs.
Okay. This is this list comes from the Chive, Colby.
Hmm. What?
Not Andy Reid's underpants, Kevin.
Thank God for that.
And it's called Next Level Living. Number one, a honey badger in a South African wildlife center escaped his enclosure twice to fight the lions in the exhibit beside him.
Let's go.
What?
He built towers out of rocks and sticks to climb over his wall. And when introduced with a mate, he stood on her head to unlock the gate and get out again.
Oh, my God.
He was like, hey, man, I heard y'all were talking that mess. Y'all think these walls going to stop me?
No.
Hey, baby, get over here. I need to go handle something real quick.
Because he's a honey badger.
By the way, mark yourself saying that.
Yep.
Yep. Yep. Hey, come over here. Uh-huh. Stand on your head to get over that wall. And she's just like, okay.
Well, I mean, he's going to go beat up some lions. I don't think you'd want to mess with that guy.
Also, it's a zoo, you know. There's not a lot of entertainment. When you get an opportunity, you assist.
Number two on tonight's list. They hit another ball to first base.
Another error. Good Lord.
Number two, Nigerian physician Dr.
Reggie.
Oluyinka. Olutoye.
Oluyinka Olutoye.
There you go. Cut a woman's baby out of her womb at 23 weeks old. Successfully operated on the baby after taking out a tumor, then placed the baby back into the mom's womb, and the baby was later delivered healthy and naturally on time at 36 weeks.
We out you.
Wow.
That's 13 more weeks after the baby had already been taken out of her womb.
Wow.
That's amazing. That's insane. Hey, well, no. I need to remove it out of the oven, fix it up a little bit, and then put it back in and nothing.
The balls on that guy.
Wow. Everything.
But not the baby.
What? Number three, ambulance drone for medical emergency. It is capable of saving lives with an integrated defibrillator. It's the latest type of drones, can go over 100 kilometers an hour and reaches destinations within 1 minute. The drone folds up, becomes a toolbox for all kind of emergency supplies.
So wait, so we've got a drone now that can just shock people to either life or death?
Well, I mean, it's going to be used for life.
Until it's not.
So like if you're calling for an emergency,
the ambulance
can say, hey, instead of sending the ambulance out, we're sending this to you right now. Get started, and the ambulance will be there in a minute.
Right, until it decides it doesn't want to do that anymore, and then it just goes around just defibrillating people that are alive.
No, the person flies the drone.
Until it doesn't.
Until the drone flies the person.
And whoever called is probably like, hey, is there anybody?
Have you ever seen a sci-fi movie?
Marion Stokes, a Philadelphia woman who began taping whatever was on television in 1979 and didn't stop until her death in 2012.
What?
That's a long VHS tape.
The 71,000 VHS and Betamax tapes she has made are the most complete collection preserving this era of TV. They are being digitized by the Internet Archive.
It must be rich as hell. VCRs used to be expensive, and you got all those tapes? Man. That's impressive.
Yeah, only rich people have the time for such tomfoolery.
What?
Either that or somebody that just had a VHS recorder and...
I mean, recording all the TV of the 70s and on.
You know, back in the day, VCR used to cost $1,000?
I gotta know where this is.
It's on your computer.
No, I don't know what location this is, but there is a trunk of an old oak tree that is still alive, but it serves as a nest for an all-bar pine tree. And both trees are alive and have been sharing living space. So it's like if somebody planted it in the middle of this old oak tree, and then it grew up, and it's huge. The pine tree reaches 15 meters. They've been alive for more than a century. 130 years old is the pine tree. The oak measures 12.5 meters and is 250 years old.
Wow.
Awesome.
Good Lord.
And it looks pretty cool.
That's like a pork loin wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh. Except in tree form.
A little hybrid tree. Number six on tonight's list from the Chive. Next Level Living. This woman's name is TJ. She's wearing a costume she made for Halloween in 1977. She was 16 at the time.
Please
now, keep in mind, there was no internet to search for images. She could not have rented and paused the movie because it was wasn't released on video until 1982. TJ went to the movie a bunch of times, took notes with a flashlight, drew a bunch of sketches, and put it together. And Kevin...
Wow, that's a hell of a good Luke Skywalker costume.
Yeah.
When he's hopping in his X-Wing. My goodness, that's strong.
Somebody says, so let's bury the BS about how women didn't grow up on Star Wars.
Man, I like that.
This guy is Simo Haya, the deadliest sniper in world history.
Okay.
He has confirmed 500 kills in less than 100 days.
What?
Using no scope on his rifle.
What?
To hold off 4,000 Soviets with only 31 other Finns. He was shot in the face with an exploded bullet and survived.
What?
And lived to be 96 years old.
Dang, man.
That's next level living.
Holy crap. That sounds like the toughest human in the world. Wow.
This is an interesting one. There's a picture, multiple pictures, of a former skinhead who got all of his racist tattoos removed from his face after he became a dad.
Okay.
Can you make that kind of transition back? Can you get away from that life?
I mean, wasn't that one of the themes of like American History X is...
It always follows you.
I mean, you can try all you like, but...
Now, wasn't that in Banshee 2? One guy tried to get away from it?
That's right. And then, he had that drama with his brother and stuff.
It was a fiction TV show, but...
Felt pretty real.
Sir Adrian Carton de Wart was a British soldier who fought in both world wars. Was shot in the face, head, stomach, ankle, leg, hip, and ear. Survived two plane crashes, tunneled out of a POW camp, bit off his own finger when a doctor refused to amputate him and said of World War II, frankly, I had enjoyed the war.
Okay, the first thing that I immediately thought was, it doesn't sound like he's too good at war. Like, if he got in crash planes that they got shot down and got shot all those times, it doesn't sound like he's good at being a soldier, but he's tough as hell.
Yeah.
I mean, he bit off his own finger.
Well, sure.
No, it looks bad, Doc. No, I'm not going to cut it off. I'm going to bite it off then.
Mark that. Reggie's got it. My goodness.
Sergeant Stubby.
The guy's name.
A stray dog.
Did it get spit off?
This is a stray dog found during military training in 1917. He served with the 102nd Infantry Regiment in World War II, saving them repeatedly due to his ability to smell mustard gas at a distance. After the war, he became a celebrity, met three presidents, and traveled around the country.
You think he was the inspiration for Spuds McKenzie?
Probably.
Sweet.
12-year-old boy Hunter Scott, who in the course of doing a history project for school, found enough evidence to lead to a congressional investigation that ended up exonerating a U.S. Navy ship's captain for wrongdoing.
What?
55 years after his court-martial.
Teacher gave him a B+.
Yeah.
I'd be like... What the hell?
You misspelled three words in here.
Poor cursive writing. Wow, that's insane.
You did see the guy over the weekend. I don't know how to say it. Eliud Kipchoge, who ran the marathon.
Oh,
the first
and
one
under
2 hours.
An
hour, 59 minutes, and 40 seconds.
Listening to some people try to hate on that was really dumb.
What?
They were like... Well, it wasn't like a real marathon because it was under contained conditions and he had people running alongside him. I thought, first of all, people run alongside you in a marathon all the time. Second of all, he still went 26.2 miles. Yes, but the ground was really flat. And what are you talking about?
I don't know.
Because it's not going to be recognized as a world record.
So did you see the video of that?
Yeah.
So I posted up, and I don't know why I wasn't thinking. I was like, but those guys right behind him, they didn't finish in, like, the next 20 seconds, did they? Because it looks like they were, and they were like, everybody's like, hold on, those are the Pacers.
Yeah, and they cycled them in and out.
Yeah,
so.
Those are Pacers. In 2009, a pigeon named Winston raced Telcom South Africa's largest ISP, to see who could deliver 4 gigabytes of data to a location 60 miles away the fastest. By the time Winston arrived with the 4 gigabyte flash drive, Telkom had transmitted only 4% of the data.
Whoa. Pigeon for the win.
For the win. I love pigeons.
More than Mike Tyson.
Actually, I'd kind of want a pet pigeon.
Do you?
Yeah.
Can we get a show pet?
Yes. Let's get a show pet.
That's what I thought. That's what Eric was.
He hasn't responded because he doesn't recognize him by that name.
The first guest to enter Disneyland was college student Dave McPherson. He didn't ride a single attraction because he had to get back to school. He was awarded a lifelong ticket to Disneyland with up to 3 guests. The ticket has since extended to include Disney parks around the world.
Wow.
And he still has it to this day.
You want breaking Disney parks around the world news?
Yes.
Our buddy from Japan, David, he was at Disney Tokyo, and he might have been getting some swag to bring back for Peace-a-thon.
I've seen some of it. It looks pretty awesome.
He always brings us those crazy Kit Kats.
Oh, man, I can't wait.
Yeah, it's good time.
There is a Japanese inn that opened in 718. That has been managed by 46 generations of the Hushi family.
What? The year 718?
Yes, the inn has been operating for 1,300 years.
What? That's insane. I thought you were saying like a July 18th. That's amazing. I thought that's too many people then. Wow. Wow.
A Chinese farmer who quit school in third grade spent 16 years teaching himself law to sue a chemical company for polluting his village. Wang Inlin couldn't afford to buy all the law books he studied at a local bookstore, so he paid the store in bags of corn to let him sit and read, copied all the information by hand, and learned what he could with the help of a dictionary, and he won the case in 2017.
And
that's badass.
Was the inspiration for Aaron Brockovich.
I don't think so.
Have you seen it?
No.
You don't know for sure.
I sure don't.
Julia Roberts is a chameleon.
And I think that's tonight's list, everybody.
The KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Think the Major League Baseball career of CC Sabathia might have just come to an end. Either he was doing poorly or he got injured or maybe both. He's going to retire after this year. It's now 7-3 Astros and they have the bases loaded. It's all going away from
Don't forget to break the news about Andy Reid's 200th win tonight.
I will not.
Puts him on a list with only like 4 or 5 coaches.
I will not. He's the 7th. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, just got time for one more thing right here on The Fan.
This segment of the KNC Masterpiece is brought to you by Mesquite Mitsubishi. Mesquite Mitsubishi has the brand new Outlander Sport SUV starting at just $16,900. Visit them online at mymitsu.com.
Back here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan, lots of stuff to get into. So you know what? Go ahead and hit it. One more thing, everybody. Do you know who Bubba Wallace is, Colby?
Bubba Wallace. The name kind of rings a bell.
Is he a golfer?
Race car driver.
He is a NASCAR driver. And he recently opened up on Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s podcast about depression and being on the verge of breaking down. And he started tweeting this really long group of texts talking about his depression and how he handles it. Kevin, I know you did the show with Jeff on depression and how to handle it. And everybody has their own ways. He said, music is powerful on so many levels. I've had kids and teens come up telling me that they battle with depression. What can they do? I tell them, find something you love and can't live without. Music is my jam, pun intended. The more frustrating days, the heavier the songs. I love my heavy metal screamo roar stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the best messaging comes from that type of music. I could go on and on, but just find what it is that they can't take away from you. We're all made different. Colby, have you ever felt like the heavy metal roar stuff is like helps you cope?
I'll tell you this. I was in the car after the, now this is not a big coping thing, but I was pretty upset after the Jets game and Cowboys game. I was ready to just be angry at everybody. And I threw on some metal while I was driving, turned it all the way up. My favorite band released a new song. listened to that a few times, had a smile on my face by the time I got to where I was going. Just changed the mood. Just concentrating on that. And just,
did you punch the steering wheel too, or were you just letting the music take care of it?
Yeah, it was pretty much just, you know, bobbing the head to the beat and everything like that. I was ready to punch everything before the music started.
Gotcha.
And then once it got going, that kind of, it was almost an anger release by just letting that be my focus. So, yeah, I can completely understand that.
All right, so well, next time we interview Bubba Wallace.
Okay.
I think we just let Colby do it.
I mean, sounds like he's got it on lockdown. Guys, one more thing, a couple of MMA notes for you. John Jones has pleaded no contest following a strip club incident in April where he allegedly inappropriately touched a cocktail waitress and forced her down on his lap and kissed her neck.
Sorry.
The incident took place in New Mexico. That's what they're called. And then in other MMA news, Conor McGregor and Frankie Edgar both said that they wanted to fight in December. Frankie's like, I've already agreed. You talk with Dana White and make it happen. That would probably be added to, and dare I say, the main event of UFC 245, which is at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas on December 14th.
Guys, one more thing. This might be something right up Corey's alley. Samuel Adams is releasing a beer so strong that it's illegal in 15 states.
Ooh.
So it's
I'm a big beer fan.
It is the Utopia, and the Utopia is 28% alcohol by volume.
Wow.
So it's going to be released on, it's actually already released October 15th. So
is that the one that's in like the, it looks like a genie bottle?
Yes.
Yes. I've seen this one, man. It's like $300 or something though, isn't it?
So it's the 11th edition. And yes, it is $210 per bottle. And only 77 wood casks of it were brewed this year. It's the Ruby Black, it's uncarbonated, and it's, there you go.
Yeah, a friend of mine got one of these last year, and he was like, well, I'm about to do this by myself. And I was like, oh no, hold on, what's going on? And it looks amazing. And I've heard it's really, really good. That's awesome. I just can't afford that.
It's one of those that it's not going to shy away from. You'll be able to tell there's alcohol in this.
Yes.
You will be able to tell.
I don't think there's any way to hide the 28%, alcohol bite. Yeah.
Guys, one more thing. I got a couple of NBA notes for you for good things happening by former and current NBA people. Michael Jordan unveiled the first of two medical clinics he and his family funded to provide underprivileged members of the community with the medical care they needed. It's the Michael Jordan Family Medical Clinic. They spent $7 million on it, and Michael Jordan was crying, and he said, it's emotional for me to give back to the community. So I think that's super awesome. And then also, Philadelphia Eagles defensive tackle Malik Jackson and former Dallas Maverick Harrison Barnes have offered to pay for the funeral of the Fort Worth woman who was killed last week by the police officer. You remember we just got past the Botham Jean Amber Geiger thing, and then, you know, last week the Fort Worth police officer who shot and killed a woman in her own house because of the call. And
you know, the day that Harrison Barnes landed in Dallas to begin his era here was the day after the police shooting in downtown.
Oh, wow.
That was he landed in that morning, and the entire DFW area radio and news world was going through that. So he became very heavily involved in the community because of that and what he could do to help. And that was kind of his focus, was those relations.
Barnes said today, my wife and I wanted to do something for that family. It was a tragic situation that happened. No one should be killed during a wellness check. But the biggest thing is anytime someone has to go through that, the last thing you want to have to worry about is trying to come up with the money for a funeral. Man.
Guys, one more thing. You looking to make $1,000?
Sure.
Yeah, I can just Tolo, and I can win every hour.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You can do that. Or you can go to reviews.org to celebrate the upcoming launch of the new Disney Plus streaming service. They're looking for somebody to watch 30 Disney movies in 30 days, and they will give you $1,000.
Oh, I can do that. Easy.
So, I have to write reviews for them.
You don't.
Oh. Just watch the movies.
You just watch the movies and, you know, you have video of you watching each movie. Just set your phone up or whatever as you're watching it so you can prove that's going on. You submit it. You after you've submitted to your application and you're picked, then you do that. You send it back and that'll be part of the celebration of Disney Plus. So
about celebration.
Yeah. I mean, you wouldn't want to be doing any other kind of celebration in the video that you send in. They may not give
Little
you
mermaid.
$1,000. So if you want, there it is. I've tweeted out the link. Go ahead and see if you can find it. I know Kevin's a binge watcher.
She's got to be like 30 now, right? 35 or 40.
Yeah, they're doing that musical.
I don't think cartoon characters age, Corey.
She's still a teenager.
So guys. I was younger than a teenager when I fell
But you aren't now. Guys, one more thing. Adam Silver is saying that the Chinese government demanded that Daryl Morey be fired, and they refuse. I don't actually know if that's true, but that's what he's saying. And he's also gone on to say that they have already suffered a substantial financial loss in China because a lot of the games still aren't being broadcasted. Obviously, they scaled way back on their media coverage and everything like that. And so it's been interesting to see how the situation continues to evolve. Silver said at first maybe he was trying too hard to be a diplomat and he didn't see it as his role as the commissioner of the NBA to weigh in on the substance of the protest. But he followed up with, we made it clear that we are not going to fire him and there's going to be no discipline whatsoever for Daryl Morey.
Well, I think that I'm okay with that decision. I think he's done a very good job of running that team. That's what he should be doing.
Guys, one more thing. Let's go to Florida, where Keystone Heights resident Austin Davis, he's 20 years old. For 17 years of his 20 years of being on this earth, he has eaten nothing but mac and cheese.
I want some mac and cheese with some meat, Mom.
And not only just mac and cheese, but he has to make sure that the mac and cheese is still in the pan when he's eating it.
Huh, that's weird.
So it's
can't eat it out of a bowl.
Doesn't want the bowl.
He doesn't want to have to clean it, you know? You don't want to have to clean dishes and the bowl.
According to him, maybe Kraft Deluxe, a four cheese occasion, or Annie's. Bob Evans is pretty good, but his ride or die brand is Velveeta shells and cheese.
That is pretty good, man.
That's it, though. That's all he eats.
Fascinating.
Doesn't breakfast. Seem healthy.
It doesn't. I mean, he's
still alive.
Sounds cheap, though. What you think about it?
You know what? I learned this. Al Michaels claims he's never eaten a vegetable in his life. So
this is a thing.
Yeah, Colby was here whenever I heard this news.
Yes,
that's such a weird ever.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I mean,
how do you do that?
I don't know. It just seems like even accidentally you'd eat a vegetable. Yeah. And you're like, oh, what was that?
Somebody just minced an onion on something.
All of a sudden you're like, oh, I got to go to the restroom, fiber.
Good Lord. Guys, one more thing. One last thing. Scoring updates for you early in the third quarter. Mavericks up in the Clippers, 58-39, their last preseason game. The Chiefs defeated the Broncos 30-6 in Thursday Night Football. And the Astros lead the Yankees 7-3 in the bottom of the eighth inning in game four. Ooh, now we go to the ninth. Game four of the ALCS looking to take a 3-1 lead. We've been the KNC Masterpiece. Come on back with us tomorrow. Once again, a full show in this season of full shows. So make sure you tune in 7-11 right here on 105 Through the Fan.
Say good night, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin. Whiskey.
Wait, was he lumberjacking in his laboratory?